another episode of Disruptive Healthcare with my co-host, Stone Payton. I'm Lee Cantor. What a great show we got today.
Hey, this is going to be a fantastic show. I'm ready to warm up and get this thing going because it was a very brisk walk up the hill to the 200 office studio this morning, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. That wind around those buildings, not for the faint of heart.
This is going to be a lot of fun, though. We have with us, of course, Lynn Hood with Cracker Jack Marketing and our special guest this morning from Down South Innovation. Please welcome to the show, Stacy Williams Schuker. Glad to have you.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be where it's warm.
It was a cold walk this morning.
It was a cold walk across the street.
So I love the name, of course.
Thank you.
Down South Innovation. What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Well, Down South Innovation is a partner development firm that connects industry, pharmaceutical, and device companies with academic resources and emerging companies in the Southeast. So if you have a... If you're a large pharmaceutical company up in the Northeast and you want to find out what's going on in the Southeast and what are opportunities for licensing, what are opportunities for sponsored research, our firm searches out through all the major centers of research and entrepreneurship across the Southeast to find that and sort of package it together and give them a convenient way to access that.
Can you share a little bit about how that relationship works?
What I do is I go out and build the relationships with the business development people with...
So for the pharmaceutical or for whatever for the...
Pharmaceutical or device.
And so they say they have a need, right?
Right.
And then you...
Like oncology.
Okay. So you got to find the biggest brains in oncology.
Exactly. And I do that through my relationships. I built relationships with vice presidents of research at the universities, all the tech transfer people. I try to make sure that they're all in my group. Mm-hmm. And so when I have a company that wants to come down to visit, I will say, okay, this company is coming down here looking for certain oncology therapies. And so what they can do is go reach out through their faculty and their intellectual property and their talent and be able to pull that together. And so we can pull together a database of researchers, and the company can review it and say, I want these people. And so what we do is...
It's like a modeling agency.
Exactly. Except, we want the prettiest brains.
Right.
Yes.
Except if you've seen some of the people in the labs. No. Well, we have a ton of researchers here in Georgia. I think from a clinical standpoint, we've got from a clinical development, clinical trial standpoint, we've got 25,000, I think, mm-hmm. That's the number we came up with the Metro Atlanta Chamber, and did a clinical trials... did a clinical trials conference back in November. I believe it was
November.
Sorry. It just seems like years, like months and months ago.
So now in all these universities, not all universities are research universities. So ones that are, you kind of become buddies with, and then you kind of get the lay of the land. What are they working on? And you kind of put together a portfolio, I guess, of the different specialties.
Right.
And then so your client from wherever they are, it doesn't have to be in America. That can be anywhere in the world,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely.
And then they say, oh, I have a need. Now, what makes them even have the Southeast on their radar?
Well, it's one of those regions where it's very difficult to access all that we have because of geography. We have, even in Georgia, we've got resources and companies from Atlanta to Athens to Augusta.
Right.
And it's just not that easy to dedicate a day to go to Atlanta, another day to Athens, another day to Augusta.
So if they didn't have you, they would have to be making these calls themselves and building their own network.
Building their own relationships.
In their world, they don't have anyone.
They don't have time. Right. I mean, and a lot of times, these business development people are also involved in licensing transactions, which involves a lot of solitary thinking or having to make sure you do due diligence.
Right.
And you just really don't have to go out. You have time to go out and hunt down new relationships and new opportunities. And The on the reverse side, all of these universities want to meet that guy at the pharmaceutical company.
So the reverse is true too. They want to be found.
They want to be found.
Right. They're not doing this in a bubble.
Yeah, exactly. But they're also working.
Yeah, and they have no clue to be found.
Basically, speed dating for bioscience.
Well, it's matchmaking.
Yeah. Match.com for the researcher.
What a cool job. How'd you get started?
Well, I have been working on this model for the past year with Georgia Bio. And I've been working basically with Georgia researchers. And it was so successful, we were able to get about five or six multi-billion $5 million companies to come down to Georgia that had not come before, and it led to ongoing relationships and also some sponsored research that had in universities that had never had that kind of company engage with them before. So I think, you know, Lynn and I both, you know, talk about this a lot, that there is an opportunity here in the Southeast that we need to band together as a region. And what I want to do is use my relationships that I have not only with the universities but with the industry to create an opportunity for more industry engagement with the Southeast, using Atlanta as the focal point for the connection.
Because the benefit of this is more jobs for Georgians, more research coming out of the university, so it supports them. It means less taxpayer dollars need to be going into them. And finally, benefits for patients, because what we're talking about here is not just, you know, making a better car or something like that. We're talking about saving lives and improving quality of life for people with diseases and disabilities.
Now, what's the financial incentive for the universities and for the researchers? Is there one, or they're doing this just for research sake?
Yes, I'm getting in my Mercedes from the proceeds of the universities. No, the universities are generally very cash strapped, especially the tech transfer offices. So what I'm focusing the model on is industry paying for this, because they're the ones that have to find the new products.
Right.
And so, you know, we struggle with this. You know, Lynn and I both work in regional organizations for several years, and we keep trying to figure out what is that nonprofit, what is that volunteer effort that we can engage in that would bring this together. And I don't think that we're ever going to be able to get that funded. So I'm turning it around and giving industry something that they can go back to their boss and say, okay, we spent this money and we got this in return.
Right.
But at the same time, the Southeastern region gets more notice and gets highlighted.
Does the researcher or the university get kind of a piece of the action if the thing comes to market?
Let's talk about what happened over at Emory several years ago, because that's one of the biggest licensing deals ever. So what did they get, $500 million?
Mm-hmm.
So two researchers, Ray Liotta and
Shinazi.
Dr. Liotta and Dr. Shinazi had come up with HIV treatment.
Okay.
And which is now used, the combination of pills and the things they in the drugs that they developed, this technology, now is used by 90% of all HIV patients. So when Stacy's talking about out-licensing this idea, so Emory went out and they sold the idea, sold the intellectual property, and licensed it to a pharmaceutical company. And it was worth so much money, they got in $500 million. This was huge.
But is it a recurring thing that... Is it kind of like in the film business, they have a buyout, or you can get residuals?
Well, I think that's based on the individual deal. But I do know that the two professors involved came out of this with a little bit of cash as well.
Just a smidge.
I'd like to talk to you about doing some radio research, maybe.
I mean, we're talking serious.
Yeah, that's some serious coin, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of that could drop my way.
I understand you're a big fan of Startup Lounge.
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, Michael Blake has been a friend of mine for years. And, you know, I was working for an intellectual property law firm as a scientific advisor back in the day. And our entrepreneurial community is not what it is now. And I credit Scott Burkett and Michael Blake for changing that. Because, you know, we were working... The community was more of, there was no engagement with investors, and there's also you know, a lot of organizations that were doing pay to play. You could pay money to get in front of qualified.
Right.
So
they really changed the game in that regard.
They flattened that,
right?
And they had enough relationships with people who could sponsor it, and you know, they knew enough people who were qualified investors to really make this something that was a viable model that really changed the landscape. And so I'm a groupie, you know, and you know, I think that whatever they do is great.
Well, groupie my foot. Stacy's one of the key people involved with Startup Lounge too, as well as you also participate in Startup Chicks,
in the beginning. I'm a good starter, you know, but I'm not a marathon runner.
Yeah, that's an awful long way to go.
But Mike Blake has really kept that thing going for a long time, and I look forward to see what he does next.
Now, what's your take on all the startup-y news that's happening lately with the Cox Communication $250 million thing and the Atlanta Tech Village popping up?
You know, I think that these are really exciting opportunities. You're starting to see some of the wealthy individuals who made their wealth here in Georgia giving back.
Right.
And, you know, that's one of the things that we have been, you know, talking about for years, is that, you know, you need to make your money here, and then you need to reinvest it. And, you know, you have some entrepreneurs who just go to Florida because there's no income tax, you know, and you know, they take all their money with them. And you know, so we want to try to encourage them and hopefully be able to, you know, create some sort of environment where
you're
it's
right.
Conducive.
You need that ecosystem where mm-hmm. the people stay here, they come up with their idea, and then they either get capital coming right. in here, and then they exit, and they still stay here, you know?
And I think that there's a more compelling reason to reinvest in Georgia now, because, you know, when Michael Blake and Scott Burkett started Startup Lounge, the ecosystem was, you know, just very thin on the ground. And, you know, now it's, you've got Startup Riot, Startup Chicks, you know, all these, you know, Flashpoint, you know, and you know, all these organizations that are devoted to taking people who are very smart but don't know anything about business
right.
and training them for that. So right. it's you know, I think there's a better chance of a return on your investment if you stay here and reinvest your money.
Right.
There's a couple interesting articles in today's Atlanta Business Chronicle. One is that there's a bill that's in our state legislature to put some of our Georgians' money where our mouth is, because we like to bring the money in, but we haven't been co-investing. And when you look at our neighbors, everyone
like
around
we
us.
We as in the government?
We as in the state government.
Right.
And not taxing the people. It comes from the tobacco money, I believe. But taking some of that and investing it, because what you see is when you go to Florida, when you go to Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, I think everybody but Alabama, they have a fund. They have a sizable fund.
Right.
And so they'll throw money at companies.
Right. I think Orlando has a center.
Oh, yeah.
Like
I mean,
a big startup center.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. So they've learned, and Texas has been very active as well. And so the thing is, from a VC, it's kind of like, well, put your money where your mouth is. If you want to grow business here, if you want us to come in and give some money, let's say you're putting some money into these local companies as well. So there's that. Now, there is a story that says that our VC investing is down, but we had talked earlier this year about Indochoice bringing in $43 million. So that didn't get counted in the 2012 numbers. I think it's going to push us up next year. Right. And that we do have funds here, but they're in raises right now. So while you start looking at some of the numbers, it can be very skewed. You know, numbers can be easily skewed.
Right. Well, I'm sure that $43 million can impact where we land on the list.
Yes, that will help a lot.
Now, what's your take on this new crowdfunding?
You know, those crowdfunding is great for short turnaround tech startups. You know, when you're dealing with drugs and devices, it's such a long time before you get a return on investment. It's so expensive, and it's so easy to lose a whole bunch of money. I'm not sure that crowdfunding is going to be something that goes into...
It won't be appropriate in that industry?
I don't think so, but I think, you know, as far as health IT, mm-hmm. I think that there are more opportunities there.
Now, what's your biggest challenge? Is it convincing the people to come here to the Southeast? Is it convincing the researchers to look at these deals? Like, what's the thing that keeps you up at night?
It's reaching out to the industry, because we don't have an enormous number of big players, you know, in the pharmaceutical and device space. We have some, mm-hmm. but we don't. You know, the ones that we want to meet are in California or in the Northeast, and so you know, reaching out to them and saying, "Okay, here's what we have in the Southeast, and here's you know what you can get for that," and then getting them to come on a plane. You know, those are the things that take time, that take relationship building, constant communication. So it's not like selling Avon, you know, it's you know, it's a long term relationship where you.
But can you like you have a target list or something? Have a list of mm-hmm. firms all over the country mm-hmm. that are your target, and you have some of them are harder to reach than others, or you have relationships. That's not the hard part.
Some of them. The hard part is getting that first conversation. Once you have that first conversation, you can start building the relationship. But mm-hmm. you know, these guys who do business development for pharmaceutical and devices, you know, everybody wants to get at them.
Right.
I mean, it's like they're venture capitalists. Like everybody wants to build a relationship. So, you know, you have to get through their firewall,
right.
you know, and get them to understand that, you know, what you've got to bring to the table, and you're not just, you know, saying, you know, please license my technology.
And, right.
And, but you're providing real opportunity for them. And so that's – this is a very novel business plan here. And I don't know anybody else who's really, really doing it. But the Southeast is really poised for expansion in this industry if we pull together. Mm-hmm. And, there's a – especially in the pharmaceutical side, we've got this issue with a patent cliff and reduced funding of R&D facilities inside of their companies. So never before has there been an opportunity to work and engage with universities, not only from a licensing perspective, but from building from long-term relationships and long-term sponsorship of certain technologies. And so this is capitalizing on something that's an early not early trend, but it's becoming a more established trend.
Right.
Emerging. It's emerging.
It's emerging. Sounds disruptive.
It's
very disruptive. And let me say that one of the things that Stacy brings two things to the table that are unique. We've forgotten the introducing her that she's Dr. Shuker.
Yes.
That she has a PhD in chemistry, which is a lot smarter than I am. So she has this very strong scientific background.
Right.
She's been working in innovation for years. And so she's had an opportunity. So with the different roles that she's held, has uniquely positioned her where she can talk the scientific talk and understand these people. She's had the opportunity to survey the landscape, build these relationships, and then embarking on this new path with the Down South Innovation is just tremendous. And it builds off something she's been doing for freebies for years, which is tell them about your Ning group. Tell them about Team Up.
Well, when I first started working in innovation in about 2008, I was working for the Department of Economic Development. And this is right when the whole world was crashing. And Governor Perdue asked for about 15% cut out of my budget, which I think amounted to about $85,000, most of it out of my marketing budget. And so I was fresh on the scene, and I was supposed to be this alleged industry expert, but I had no money to tell anybody I was an alleged industry expert. So I started using Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn to communicate and connect with people, because I would meet people across the state, and I couldn't really help them at that time, but I wanted to stay in touch with them and keep them informed. And so that was fairly successful. And then I discovered this Ning group, or this Ning platform, where you can develop community and you can upload videos. And
is Ning still around?
Ning is still around.
Really?
I mean, well, Ning was doing a lot of things that Facebook does now. You could do a lot of things like upload videos.
Right. It was very pliable.
You had to pick a pony and ride it, And so, I mean, I'm sticking with Ning because I've got almost 900 members of people who are from scientific, business, legal, regulatory, business. So I want everybody in the gamish, because if you're going to take a drug or device to market, you can't just be a scientist. You have to understand regulatory law. You have to understand patent law, financing. Who's going to pay for
marketing?
Marketing.
That's the marketing.
Every show we have to throw Lynn a crumb to say something positive about marketing.
You notice the first thing that's cut is her marketing.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Well, I'll tell you what I got out of that whole thing was pick a pony and ride it.
I'm
all over that.
You're going to keep that one, right?
But I'm able to provide. Basically, when information comes across my desk, I can send it out to my group and keep them informed.
Your peeps.
My peeps, and so events, make sure people know about events, make sure they know about the latest news, and so people rely on this as a source of information.
Right,
and so it's been mostly Georgia focused, and now I'm expanding it for a southeastern presence. So it's undergoing some changes right now, but hopefully it's going to be a one stop shop where you can go to see what's going on in the Southeast.
Now, what comes first for you, the chicken or the egg? Are you like, does a researcher tell you, "Hey, I got this new prostate thing that I'm working on," or does some company say, "I'm looking for this prostate thing"?
Both.
Or it can come from either end.
I try to meet as many people as possible and let them talk as long as possible.
And then you're like the matchmaker.
I try. Yes. I work basically between everything. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk to people who do technologies, who are just straight technology, run data centers. I want to talk to people who are working on a small molecule pharmaceutical compound. I want to talk to secretaries. I mean, secretaries know.
Mm-hmm. They know everything.
They know everything. So is it the more people I can meet and the more people that I can talk to,
the more valuable your service is.
I believe so.
Right.
Or at least I feel smart.
You mentioned a phrase earlier that Lee doesn't understand. So for his benefit, maybe some of our listeners, patent cliff. What is it?
Patent cliff. The pharmaceutical industry has been really challenged by the fact that some of their really big drugs like Lipitor and Humira and Enbrel, you know, they're all going off patent, which means if you have a drug under patent, it means that you're the only one that can right. produce that. And when it goes off patent, that means generic companies can come in and say, hey, I can produce this drug just as well as this right. company, and I can do it for $4 as opposed to $40.
Right. Yeah. And the reason they can do that is not that the big drug companies are so big and are necessarily greedy, is that they've spent millions and millions of dollars developing that drug,
yes.
and so now they're trying to get their money back.
Well, and more importantly, usually. They've spent millions and millions of developing drugs that didn't make it.
Exactly.
To make back their money.
the billion-dollar drug.
Right.
So 2012 is the peak of the patent cliff
There's a lot
of good drugs that are going off patent.
Yeah,
so next year, only half as many drugs are going off patent. So things are looking up for the pharmaceutical industry. But we've lost dozens of drugs this year. And some of them are small molecules that are easy to copy. And some of them are big biologics that are hard to copy.
Right.
But that's really shaken up the pharmaceutical industry as far as their revenues. And then at the same time, they've been cutting back on their R&D facilities and their research talent. So they have a harder time creating a pipeline as the revenues are
and that's why the importance of partnering with these researchers because that can kind of speed up their process because these researchers may be farther along internally.
They might be further along. They certainly understand what's going on in their particular area, but universities also invest in world-class technologies and your 900 megahertz NMR. These things that you need to develop the drug. So
right.
instead of each company having their own research center with the world class, they can come in and collaborate with universities that have invested.
And that university can serve more than one constituency, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like Emory Institute for Drug Discovery is designed for bringing in a compound that's interesting and developing it and see how far it will go using world class facilities and brand new stuff.
Whereas in the past, that might have been just at the location of a big company
mm-hmm.
and not the university.
Right. So, a lot of those research centers have been shut down by the industry, and they just don't have – and it takes a lot of money to keep it updated.
Right, the maintenance and the care and feeding of it.
Exactly.
And there's only so many things that you can focus on within that. So you think about if you're paying your scientists a good amount of money and they're focusing on 10 drugs, 10 possibilities, and only one of them pays off, none of them pay off – you've put a lot of money out there. So if you can go out and survey the landscape and pick out drugs.
And throw a little bit of money at a lot of these things.
Right.
Then
yeah, or just kind of wait and see how they're coming along. So instead of doing the development yourself, you go out. Now, there's been discussions that can be a negative because it means we're going to have less intense discoveries. There's going to be less discoveries made through the funding of the drug companies. But on the other hand, it's really good for our universities. And Stacey, you started to say something. What it costs to make that first pill?
There's the joke. There's the $1 billion pill.
Right.
Like you get a pill to market. It costs $1 billion because of what you said. All those other drugs that failed have gone in have been just as expensive to develop as the one that works.
Now, Stacey, you and Lynn both have made a very conscious decision to be very active in professional associations that I'm sure don't result in a weekly or monthly check immediately.
Not in the years that I've been doing it.
No. You haven't found that magic? No, I haven't found that one yet.
But I'd like you both to speak to that a little bit. What's the thinking behind it? What advice, if any, do you have to offer people that are thinking, how involved should I be? What are some things I should do to make a genuine contribution and to get some meaningful return on that investment for myself or my company?
Well, I tell anybody when I talk to young people, I talk to anybody who says, I need to find a new job. I need to start networking. You're too late. And then they decide to network. They're going to go to a meeting. a meeting. And they don't meet anybody. That, can you imagine?
They
don't
meet all
anybody.
The other unemployed people.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
are looking to network for a job, looking for a job.
Imagine. So what I tell them is that if you're going to network, if you're going to go, you got to be involved. You got to get right. on a committee. You got to contribute. This is how you meet people. This is how you connect with people. And so that's just good business to be out there meeting people. I Stacey and I, they both believe passionately in Georgia and in the Southeast, and that this is my home. This is where I'm from. We're both native Georgians, mm-hmm. which I think may be a shocker. And so this is where I want to live, and I want to grow this area. I think what we're doing is important. So part of it is there's a business payoff. You get to meet people. You get to find clients that way. It's how I do business development. So that's part of it. Part of it is I feel good about what I'm doing, that there's a payoff not only for the people who are going to benefit eventually from the life sciences and biosciences, but that overall it raises the economy, and it's good for the state, it's good for the region.
Yeah, I think, I got started working, I used to do my volunteer work when I lived in Athens with, like, the Junior League and right. those organizations like that. And when I got to Atlanta, I saw so many issues with the ecosystem that, why doesn't somebody fix that? and so, when you go to these events, you find other people who say the same thing. Right. Let's fix this. And so, Lynn and I have spent countless hours in committee meetings trying to fix whatever it is that's not right.
Right.
Yes. And, I credit my mother and my grandmother. They were, they were long-term volunteers. They would go out and fix things that were wrong, And so this is an opportunity for me not only to benefit professionally by meeting other people, but it's, continuing, my family tradition of getting engaged in the community.
Now, can you share maybe the most rewarding or some of the most rewarding things that have happened through your volunteering?
I think bringing the clinical trials conference to Georgia, or creating it, Jane Green with the Metro Atlanta Chamber's Bioscience Leadership Council's Clinical Trials Subcommittee had a real vision for, bringing notice to Georgia about the clinical trials infrastructure that we have here. And that work is still not finished because we have a tremendous number of clinical trials here, and we need to highlight that.
And what's the importance of having a lot of clinical trials?
Well, it's an opportunity, A, to get the people of Georgia the most cutting-edge research that's available, but it's also very expensive to run a clinical trial. You have to pay people a lot of money, so it's a way a company can come in, invest in Georgia, and help the people of Georgia at the same time.
Now, a little bit more about the clinical trials, because I'm not understanding. Those are for humans, or those are on animals? Or
yes.
It's on everybody, anything?
Well, you start off with the animals.
Right.
And then you move on to the humans. And so what we want is both.
We need more Georgians.
We need more rats, and we need more humans.
Is it really hard to get them? Like, how do they go about getting them? They put ads in Craigslist? Like, how do you even know?
Some hospitals just will run an ad on television. They'll put up posters. They'll put up flyers. And it's a very inefficient way to do it.
It seems like it.
You can work with doctors. You can go to oncologists. So if you're testing something for cancer patients, you go to oncologists and you say, we're looking for patients that fall into this category. We want somebody that's never been treated before. We want them. They have to fall into certain categories.
Right. And it's super specific, right?
It can be. It can be.
But an organization here in Georgia called the Center for Oncology Research and Education has created a website.
CORE.
CORE, yes.
CORE.
What's the...
Nice.
I'm sitting there going... What is the website's address?
It's Google.
Google Clinical Trials in Georgia. And you could go on there as a patient and mm-hmm. find out where there are clinical trials in the state. And Nancy Paris, who runs that organization, spent a lot of time and effort making a very elegant website to help patients
and
find.
And that's unique to Georgia, or does every state do this? Or
there's actually, you can go into the federal government has a database of clinical trials. Mm-hmm. So if you're, you can go in and Google. Sorry, it's just become a verb mm-hmm. now. You can go in and Google if you have a certain condition. So you could put in that you're looking for dandruff. Clinical trials,
and they'll be
and see what comes up. Right. There may be somebody recruiting for dandruff. You never
and
know.
It's always by. It has to geographically be near wherever you happen to be. in order for you to participate? Or
it depends on the treatment. Like if you're an oncology patient, you have cancer, and you're getting chemotherapy, it helps to be close by to where the clinical trial site is. But certainly, I know people.
But they can send you to a lab, and then the results can be sent to wherever the clinical trial is. Mm-hmm. It can happen kind of remotely like that.
It can. It depends on the structure of the site and what the researcher, how the researcher wants to recruit.
Now, so what's next for you? Where are you going to be spending your energy over the next few months? Got anything focus?
Working on building more relationships with industry, but also working with the consul generals here to let them know that, you know, companies that were looking to engage in the Southeast, expand somewhere or build relationships. A lot of these consuls have Southeastern responsibility, but it's, you know, they have a very slim staff.
Right, and there's a bunch of consuls and consuls. Yeah,
and they work very, very hard. Right. But when a company comes in and wants to know who to be, how to get,
you want to be that point person for anything for the life sciences and biosciences.
Yeah, and I can do some technology too. I have enough contacts there that I can. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's I'm strongest in the devices and the pharmaceutical industry.
Now, if somebody wants to learn more, you have a website?
DownSouthInnovation.com.
Cool. Lynn, you want to say
and
something?
I was going to say, and for anyone within the life sciences, anything associated with that, if you're not getting Stacy's emails.
If you're not in her Ning group, you're nobody.
That's right.
Well, see, I am somebody and have been somebody for some time. And everybody I tell it about, they go, you mean there's somebody that consolidates all that information and sends out the local stuff? You go, yeah, and you can sign up for free, at least for right now, until we figure out how to monetize that. And so... And everybody's like, it's great. It's tremendous. It's why I am somewhat smart. It's all due to Stacy.
Don't let Lynn fool you. She is one of the most well-connected, smartest people in the industry. I'm very proud to have her as my friend.
Well, thank you. Now, let me mention, speaking of well-connected, what's coming up? I got to mention SIMDA. SIMDA. Listen, guys, we got
to send SIMDA a bill. They get in every single broadcast. Now, what's happening with SIMDA?
We have the conference is, listen, you only have this for a couple more weeks, is November 19th and 20th. On Monday, I believe, we will announce.
February?
Or maybe February 19th and 20th.
Did I say January?
November.
Did I?
I didn't know about SIMDA because they don't have a Ning group.
That's right.
They do not. They do have a LinkedIn group that I might let you join. It's a closed group. We have the annual conference. It's on February the 19th and 20th at the Georgia Tech Learning Center. We're going to have 20 presenting companies. I've seen the list. I can't release them yet. We're getting all the details down. That'll come out on Monday. We'll have the list of the presenting companies for VCs. We'll be bringing VCs in from all across the nation. Plus, we'll be educating people on a lot of the things Stacy talked about, quality systems, medical device, data systems. We'll have a couple of CEOs talking, business development people, VCs. Got a huge lineup. Did you know we have TEDMED president coming to talk, John Ellenthal?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So TEDMED, which is one of the most popular bioscience organizations around, we scored the president coming here. We were.
And he's speaking?
He's speaking.
Nice.
He's going to talk. So, plus a whole other lineup of great speakers. So it's an it's going to be very exciting. It's going to be very strong this year. SEMDA, SEMDA.net. And on the other hand, if you have not cut your marketing budget yet, you can get in touch with me, just in case, at crackerjack-marketing.com.
Now, there's still tickets available. You can still sign up.
Yes, you can still sign up.
For a limited time.
Limited time. They're flying out.
And one more time before we wrap, let's make sure that all our listeners have coordinates to get to you. Stacy.
Well, if you want to get to my Ning site, it's team-up.ning.net. team-up.ning.com. Sorry, I'm not net. .com.
And downsouthinnovation.com is your website. Mm-hmm. All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Peyton, and this marks the end of another great episode of Disruptive Healthcare. See you all next week.